Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello and welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and it is a pleasure to have you join us for the first time or to rejoin us as our regular listeners. We do appreciate all of you that you're choosing to invest your valuable time of your life with us here at Spark. And before we welcome our guests tonight, I would like to share that here in Central City, Iowa, where we live, that while the southern end of town flooded, where our home is, we did not have water damage here in Iowa. Although for those of you who would like to help in some way, if you go to corridorrecovery.org or iowafloods.com, or simply donate to the Red Cross and specify that you want it to go to Iowa Flood. Everyone who has been touched by the flood would very much appreciate your support as well as your prayers. So thank you in advance for the actions you're going to take to make a positive difference in the lives of victims of natural disasters, which are very close to where I live. And tonight, I'm excited to welcome Kelly Addington and Becca Teeter, who are on a mission, and it is their passion. So welcome, Kelly.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Welcome, Becca.
Good evening. So excited to be here.
Well, I'm so happy that you're both here. This is the first time I've had two guests on the show, so it's an exciting first here at Spark. So because we have such a short time, we're going to dive right into the content. I had the pleasure of meeting Kelly and Becca at a recent Psychogeometrics World Conference, and got to know a little bit about what they do and wanted to give them an opportunity to share with you, because sexual assault is something that touches so many lives. And so, Kelly, would you share, please, what it is that is your passion and mission?
Sure, of course. Well, my passion is to work with college students and to encourage them and empower them to create change on their campus in whatever way they see that is, whether it's, you know, standing up and speaking out against sexual assault or volunteering for something that they care about, getting recycle bins in their cafeteria, whatever that is. But our primary topic and focus is sexual assault awareness and prevention, as well as learning to communicate and helping students to understand what sexual empowerment is all about. So, and we've been fortunate enough to be living our dream, as we like to say, and working with college students for the past 5+ years. And every day is more and more amazing, and we continue to be inspired by the survivors and friends and family members that we meet along the way.
And that is such an awesome way to live your life, is to live your passion and to fulfill your mission. Becca, what is it about your work with Let's Talk About It that drives you?
Well, you know, one of the greatest things, and I think we all know this, especially people who are living a passionate and fulfilled life, is what makes our day, even when the commute seems long or things seem difficult, is we meet other people who are so committed to making a difference. And there is nothing more powerful, I think, than when you meet people who have been challenged in some way, in some form of adversity or just circumstance, and that when they turn that into something so amazingly positive and they allow Kelly and I to step into their world for whether it's one day or months or years, whatever the case may be, wherever the relationship goes, to help be a part of that, that's just an amazing, you know, that's not a job perk that many people get, and it's just incredibly empowering. And it just makes us feel very fortunate.
And I think one of the things that we realized that, you know, that we understand that we fully are living our passion and we love every day of work, even though every day may not be easy, is that we don't mind waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning to catch a flight, to have an 8-hour commute to work. We look forward to it. And so it's so exciting that we get to share the experience with one another.
Speaking of sharing the experience, would you share with our listeners a little bit about the history of your relationship as the team of Kelly and Becca?
Sure. Beck, do you want to take it?
Certainly. Kelly, and I should say I've been fortunate to know Kelly since we were kids. And
yes, you should say that.
That's true. And so for almost the past two decades, Kelly and I have just been, you know, inseparable. She's the sister that I think that I wish I'd always had. And so we had the pleasure of going to high school together and to college. And so we saw a lot of the same world, and we grew up and experienced a lot of these things. And through our friendship, we, you know, even when we experienced sexual violence in our lives, we found that that anchor was so incredibly powerful for both of us, and it helped us become better people, which is one of the things that is really the cornerstone of the work that we do. And when we do with supporting survivors work, we really focus on not putting the onus just on the survivor to get healthy, but to us to create a culture and a climate to get well. And I think that goes back to our friendship. But being friends all these years, and it kind of, Kelly and I have always been really good about being authentic and doing the things that make us truly happy. You know, Kelly studied social work as an undergraduate, and obviously she didn't expect innumerable wealth from that. And I studied theater, again, probably the two poorest, you know, the poorest occupations you can select, but it was really important for us to do what we loved and to feel like we were making a difference and contributing. And so, you know, Kelly and I being typical college students at the time, Kelly, a recent graduate, she was a little more on point than I was. You know, we're having one of those nights, you know, like everybody has at those points. You know, usually it's at Denny's. We happen to be in a car on I-10 West headed to New Orleans, Louisiana, having one of those conversations about how are we going to change the world? What is our calling? How could, here, we know what makes us happy. We know what we love. How do we fuse that into, for lack of a better term, this happily ever after? And we sat there and we talked and we talked and we talked about our experiences, and we just said, we're going to start telling our story. We're going to learn how to help people make a difference. We're going to help people reduce sexual violence on their campus in ways that if we had known then, that classic, if I knew then what I know now, and that students can still have an incredibly rewarding college experience, but they can be safe. And there's really easy ways to do that if someone will just tell them. And so we really crafted this vision. And, you know, I can tell you that in that really, really dark night, it never once occurred to us that we would fail. And I think that, you know, whether it's our ignorance is bliss or sheer determination, I think that's one thing that's really important about whatever life work you're doing, is that you just can't believe that you can't do it. And so we just kind of basically said, ta-da, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to be. And it really, I think the friendship and the trust we have in one another was really the cornerstone of supporting and believing in that.
Wow. Kelly, do you want to add anything?
Well, I was just really admiring that story. We're so cool.
That's great.
I mean, great job. No, and I think, you know, I second that emotion. Everything that she said, I think, is, you know, I think the important part of, you know, you asked, you know, how did Kelly and Becca come to be? Well, we've been best friends for over 18 years. So the Kelly and Becca already existed, but once we knew what we wanted to do, you know, and Becca said we never feared failure. And we fell down once, twice, three times, many times. But because the other person was there to help us back up, we succeeded, you know, and it took several years for us to really find our, you know, find our really how we're going to get into it, find our niche and to really get going. But we never quit. And when one of us felt like quitting, the other one was there to say, you can't quit. We're in this together. And I think that's so important with the students that we work with, especially because we have this friendship and we're, you know, best friends and we're women. And I think it's so important to have, for me, I can't imagine my life without Becca in it. And so mm-hmm. I hope that everyone that we talk to has a Becca in their life, because through our friendship, we've been able to overcome so many things and become successful business owners. And it's just been an amazing, amazing journey that all started, you know, so many years ago.
That is an amazing story. And you often hear the stories about friends who go into business together and it really doesn't work out. It's so refreshing to hear about the relationship that you two have and your commitment then to changing the world. And it wasn't about building a business. It was about changing the world.
Exactly.
And the idea that you weren't going to fail, that you were going to make it happen, and that support is so important. If you're surrounded by people who are telling you you're going to fail, it's much tougher than when you're surrounded by people saying, we can do this.
Right. And for us, it wasn't about money for one second. It was that we had the passion and the desire within us that we really felt that we could make a difference. We can make a difference on our college campus. We can make a difference in our region, and then in turn make a difference nationally. So that's what it was all about. We had this drive to speak out and to encourage others to do the same.
And that's awesome. Do you want to talk a little bit about where that drive and that passion about sexual empowerment came from?
Yeah, certainly. When I was in college, when we were both in college, I was sexually assaulted by someone that I had been dating for a short period of time. And it's unfortunately something that happens to many women and men in college specifically. And so we recovered through that together. And I say we because it's true. Like I said, I couldn't imagine my life without Becca. So we very much healed through the recovery process of sexual assault together. And I specifically had a hard time learning how to go from victim to becoming a survivor. And so once I was able to sort of figure that out for myself, and Becca and I figured that out, we wanted to be able to share that with other people, to let people know that they weren't alone, and to also talk to people to prevent sexual assault on college campuses, because we truly believe that specifically date rape and sexual assault on college campus can be 100% preventable if you are aware, if you educate yourself, if you understand what sexual assault is, if you understand the alcohol piece and all of that, and if you learn how to truly become sexually empowered, which is so much of what our mission has become. So that's sort of what started our journey. We wanted to sort of share what we had learned, and basically we kind of thought, okay, we made a lot of mistakes along the way, and we could have done this differently, and maybe we should have tried that. So why don't we sort of share our story? And neither one of us are shy people, so we didn't mind getting up in front of folks and, you know, saying, this is what we did, and this is what we wish we would have done, and, you know, what do you think about that? Let's talk about it. Let's really get to the bottom of it and figure out how we can make a difference for ourselves and for others. And so that's when the Let's Talk About It message was born. We felt like we wanted to share what happened to us and prevent it from happening to other college students. And then that whole piece went from educating students about sexual assault and sexual assault awareness and helping them understand what date rape drugs are and understand how to be safe and giving them tips. And that really morphed into a whole sexual empowerment piece, which is really probably a lot of what we focus on now and what students are really interested in talking about. And Becca is really she's the one that sort of coined that whole phrase and everything. So I'll let her share that with you.
Well, it was kind of like, if you can picture, you know, we're on this continuum and we kept stepping backwards. We're like, okay, but if we go this step back, we can be that much more proactive instead of reactive. Because, you know, we started with, you know, helping survivors. Okay, but we want to get to the point where we have a lot less survivors until it's almost unheard of. So we kept stepping back and going all the way back to the most basic, when people come together. And generally, most of them have pretty genuine and true expectations, but it gets so much lost in translation, and it goes from something that was intended to be good to something really bad. And we found that if we talked to men and women and we allowed them to be individuals, if they were challenged to trust themselves and to believe in themselves and not get stuck in these, you know, most oppressive gender stereotypes. You know, if anybody could do anything for their children as far as helping protect them from sexual violence, as far as helping them feel empowered, and sexual empowerment might scare some parents, and by no means should it. It doesn't mean we're saying, you know, this is our own version of the 60s revolution, get down tonight. That's a personal choice. Kelly and I don't ever dictate what we think you should do as a consenting adult. But we do think that to be sexually empowered, you have to be able to truly define your own boundaries. And toss those gender stereotypes. I mean, we put so much pressure on our young men that they become these hypersexual, super masculine, you know, if they don't want sex all the time, then maybe there's something wrong with them. And that's a lot to live up to. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. And at the same time, while we're putting all this pressure on our men, we're oppressing our women so greatly that if they have any sexual desires, then there's something wrong with them. And so what we do, and it's, you know, we see it time and time again. Any of us could go put on a cable TV movie right now, and it'll say the same thing in the typical, you know, heterosexual sexual situation, where you see the man is taught he must be the constant aggressor, and a woman is taught that if she's aggressive, then there's something wrong. And so you automatically set yourself up in the most natural of how we're taught to portray the typical sexual situation. We set ourselves up for coercion. So we're setting ourselves up to make people feel pain and difficulty, and something that can be truly loving and wonderful between a couple that's consenting and is ready for that. So I think that when we really realize at the core that the most basic things we were ever taught about sex, and, you know, even if it meant, you know, just making out, you know, I mean, girls aren't even encouraged that they can't even kiss somebody first. And until we break out of those chains and allow people to be what Kelly and I refer to as sexually empowered, confident in who you are, knowing your own boundaries, and tossing all those stereotypes, once we could create that kind of culture, we can dramatically not only reduce sexual violence, but create interpersonal fulfillment so our relationships thrive, which, you know, is, again, part of the bigger picture that we kept stepping back and stepping back and stepping back from. And so it became so important to us because we just want people to live the richest life possible. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy if we just take the time and invest in ourselves.
And so much of the sexual empowerment piece is that it's so much about the journey of self-discovery, and we really encourage the students that we work with to really be true to yourself. It's not the journey that you think you should go on or that the media portrays of how you should feel or what your parents think. It's really defining who you are, what you want to be, being confident in your choices, and not being afraid to stand up and speak out and to be able to say, you know, hey, I want to have sex, or no, I choose to be abstinent, or, you know, wait till marriage, or whatever your choice is, to be confident in saying who you are and what you believe in, whether you're at the library or whether you're out at the bar and you're five drinks into a night. It's all about making the decisions while you're sober and while you're intoxicated, because so much of sexual assault on college campus specifically happens when alcohol is involved.
Wow, again, and as I was listening to you, not only did I go back to when I worked as an advisor on a college campus, worked in a program with high school students, but even thinking at the high school level, that a lot of times when they're trying, the young men and women are trying to figure out who they are, and there's all of the media, like you said, that's giving mm-hmm. you one set of messages, and parents giving another set of messages, or not talking to you at all about it. And mm-hmm. there's so much pressure that when you involve the drugs and the alcohol, mm-hmm. and then try to make the decision, your judgment is so clouded.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we could talk for days about how the media portrays sex and violence and drugs and alcohol, and they make drinking so sexy. And it can be, but it doesn't have to be, you know. It's all about if you have a Cosmo or a margarita, then that's a good time. But that's, you know, you don't have to, or you have to have that drink to sort of get your mojo on or feel relaxed. And that's fine, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Well, and as I was looking at both your websites recently, both KellyandBecca.com, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we'll talk in a minute about Unite for Change. But even on your Facebook sites, especially the comments from young men who mm-hmm. very often feel like they're portrayed as evil perpetrators. In the work that you do, the feedback that I was reading was they so appreciated.
Yeah, and when we definitely when we first started out, you know, we were a little gun shy about talking to men. Not that we were, either one of us were uncomfortable with that, but we didn't know what the reaction would be to these two very strong personality chicks getting up there to talk to them about sexual assault and, you know, sort of leave them with like some thought-provoking questions. But men have become our biggest allies, and we can't say enough great things about them. I mean, so many men come up to us after programs and just say, you know, thank you for not making me feel like a rapist. I mean, that simple. And just, you know, we get a lot of questions and correspond with a lot of the students that we work with for months and even years after we've been there. And we've both personally worked with a lot of boyfriends of survivors of sexual assault. And they just have simple questions about intimacy and, you know, how do I help my girlfriend get over this, or how can I make her feel more comfortable? And, you know, we've met so many incredible men that completely defy the stereotypes that are out there, and we just hope that one day they're heard as loud as we hear them.
That's awesome, because not only for those who are trying to be supportive mm-hmm. of the women in their lives who have been victims of assault or rape, but those who've been victims themselves,
mm-hmm.
as well as those who maybe have been perpetrators and not realized that's what they were doing.
Right.
And that is a whole nother mindset of when you come to that realization that, but I didn't know that what I was doing was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that comes down to the education piece and really talking to, and not just students, I mean, parents and teachers, and we're all sort of unaware, and we hear these stories about rape, and we hear it on the news, and we read about it in the paper, and it's always something that's happened to someone else. But until it happens to you or a friend or a neighbor, you kind of really, you think about it as like this big, bad, scary thing. But the definition of sexual assault or rape is really very general, and it's really any unwanted sexual activity that happens to you. And so it's very simple, and so much of that becomes foggy with the alcohol. So we have had men and women that say, you know, if that's really what sexual assault is, then I need to be more careful. And so if we're, you know, getting people to think that way, then we feel like our work is doing some good things.
Oh, awesome. Well, I need to give our call-in number so that if people have questions for you, the number's 347-215-8390. So if you have a question for Kelly or Becca, please give us a call. They'll be with us for a little over 20 minutes. And for those of you that I can see listening on the web chat, please type in any questions that you have for our guest tonight, because I know they would love to answer your questions.
Totally.
Right? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So while we're waiting for some questions, I want to make sure we have some time for you to talk about your awesome work with Unite for Change.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I've been talking a lot. Becca, do you want to talk or you want to go for it? Yeah,
sure.
Both of us could talk for days.
you know, when we started on this journey, we've been exposed to so many great things and seen so many incredible things. And quite frankly, Kelly and I are the first date for a lot of people to start talking about this topic, and we come to their campus. But we realized that we were getting all these incredible opportunities, whether we were in Kentucky or Kansas, whether we were in California or Colorado. I mean, we've worked in almost every state in this country, and we're seeing all this great stuff that's happening. You know, people are so easy to get, you know, negative or doubt this generation. And, you know, the activism that's starting to come up now, I think, is something that Kelly and I are not at all surprised about, especially with the political stuff, because we've seen it on campuses for years. But we sat down and we said, you know, we're given all these treasures, but if we were hit, and this is no joke, if we were hit by a bus tomorrow, how would we ever share
really
this?
Bad.
Yeah, that would be really unfortunate. But that aside, how would we ever share all this information we've gained that we learned from a wonderful person in Oregon or wherever the case may be? And we realized that we had a responsibility and a desire to create the most comprehensive online resource. And, of course, we went with online because, you know, our classroom, if you will, our community is so large. I mean, we work with people all over the world. So we wanted to be able to get a place that's constantly evolving but gives them the best information, the best of what we've seen, highlights people who are doing great things, and just allows us to come together. Whether we want to plan an event, whether you have $2 or $2 million, the ways you can reach out and be active, because the most important thing any of us can do is to stand up and to speak out on whatever we're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And so Kelly and I just really built a community where we constantly give the best resources so parents can benefit from it, so peers can benefit from it, so young people can, all these different things, so we can all work together. Because as Kelly said, and we'll say it a million times, it may be horrific, the statistics that you'll see on the website and you'll read about with sexual violence, specifically, you know, that as many as one in three women may be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. I mean, that's tremendous. One in four while they're in college. It's really easy to find that really despairing. But when you think about the best statistic of all is that almost all acquaintance rape is 100% preventable. That's the kind of statistics that Kelly and I want to see people talking about and working towards.
Yeah,
and
so
there's
so many positive statistics out there that really
right.
are.
Right, and there's so much good. You know, you talked about the men earlier. You know, men and women are so integral to this movement because we all have different voices. We all, you know, just all our different, you know, we've worked with so many different types of groups and student groups, and, you know, it's so important to understand that as a greater community, we can really be a part of this. So Kelly and I basically just wanted to create a vehicle, a constantly evolving knowledge base and a community. And it has been one of our greatest efforts and one of our greatest, it's something we really are just so humbled by and just love that we are a part of.
Mm-hmm. And it's been really neat to see, and I think Becca would agree, that we founded Unite for Change as a campaign just about a year and a half ago, almost a year and a half ago to the day, actually. And it's evolved and changed so much just in that short time period. And our hope is really that this is going to be something that we'll leave behind as a legacy, that we'll manage the website and put the information and all of that. But we really want it to become what campuses and communities want it to be. And we want it to become a resource for them that not only they can use and learn and help build their community to be a stronger place, but that they're providing the ideas and the suggestions because, you know, we only know what we see. We have no idea what happens on a college campus before we get there or once we leave unless someone tells us. So our hope is that really this will be something that we hand over to thousands and thousands of people all over the country and hopefully all over the world that they own this piece. And so that's what we're so excited about. That's the really exciting part about it, for me anyway. And so the campaign was founded on focus, determination, hope, and promise. And that is so much of that completely defines the work that Becca and I do and who we are as people. And so we hope that other people are able to use this resource, go to the website, check it out, leave messages. And we like to feature different, we call them Sisters for Empowerment and Brothers for Change. We feature different students and leaders and, you know, just about anybody who's interested in talking about what their passion is and how they make change on their campus or in their community. And so we're really excited to see that grow.
You just have more new and exciting ideas, and the fact that you find a way to make it happen. Because, like you said, what kind of legacy is it that you're leaving
mm-hmm.
through the work that you're doing, through the connections that you're making? And Unite for Change will live far beyond the work that you do, even though what you do on the college campuses is so powerful and touches so many lives. By using a website and allowing people to connect with each other as facilitators of that process through Unite for Change, it's an amazing legacy that you are leaving.
And we learned so much from students, too. We recently had an opportunity to work with a leadership and marketing class at a university near our home, and they, you know, they were helping us sort of brand Unite for Change and giving us ideas of how we can do things differently and how we can get more people involved. And just, I mean, the ideas, and I mean, neither one of us are super tech savvy, so we're fortunate to have a really great web designer and a guy who we can say it in our language, as we like to say, and he puts it back in techie language and makes it happen. And just the ideas that students have and the different, you know, web resources and stuff that we have in the works currently and hope to be able to launch here within the next 6 months, it's amazing. I mean, we learn so much from the students that we work with, and that's the exciting part about it. I mean, it's really cool to see the way they think and understand what they see as valuable education and how we can sort of meet in the middle and figure out what's going to work.
Any comments, Becca? Are you still there?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, I agree, and this is a conversation Kelly and I have often, and that we know how fortunate we are, and, you know, we have a vision that, before too long, you know, this will have a student board that basically runs and drives the vision, And so it's constantly evolving by the people who want to drive the vision.
I just got a question for you from one of our listeners through web chat. And the question is, I graduated from college and been working in the business world. How can I take what you taught about how to handle sexual situations in college into the professional world?
Okay, that's a very good question.
I do. I like that. That was the premise of some of the work we did with Dateline about a year ago. I think it's, you know, it doesn't really change. I wish, I hate to break this to anybody who might be listening, but the whole way we, you know, dance around relations and stuff like that doesn't really change a lot as we get older.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, it's the same challenges. And what we can do is to just get sexually empowered. You know, we're getting ready to relaunch KellyandBecca.com, and so I really encourage anybody who gets a chance to check it out over the next few weeks. But there's a piece on there about sexual empowerment and truly just being confident in who you are and what you stand for, creating safe boundaries. Kelly and I can talk for at length about, you know, we use alcohol. It's not any different in college. You know, now we just go to happy hour. Instead of it being at 11 o'clock at night, we generally do it at 6. And so we have the same different challenges. It's just really sitting down and going, okay, this is how I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to create boundaries that feel right to me, no matter how narrow or wide the scope. And I think if you do that, you know, this can really help you not only prevent sexual violence, because obviously that's something that we want, but we want everyone to have the greatest sex life or lack thereof, whatever they're into, that they can possibly imagine for themselves, that they have the best personal connections with the human beings in their life that they can. And so all of this and understanding who you are and rocking that, I mean, you know, totally owning that is probably the most quintessential thing any of us can do. And not only that, but people who are that confident and who understand themselves are so incredibly attractive that you up the ante that much more.
Mm-hmm. And I think also just to – that was awesome – just to talk about the safety, the safety tips and the logistics of things. Fortunately, the college campuses and high school campuses that we work with, they have resources, anything you could think of at your fingertips. And I'd say 98.5% of them are free. That sounds like a radio station. But and so that's the really amazing and wonderful thing about being on a college campus. And so that's good. Counseling's free. There's public safety. You have free escorts that'll walk you from your dorm room to your classroom if it's after, you know, if it's in the dark or anything like that.
And by escorts, Kelly does not mean those for hire. She means
No. Although I'm sure they have those too. But it's kind of, you know, that they have, you know, they have all these great resources on a college campus. And I think the person that typed their question in or whatever was asking how can they take that into the corporate world once they're out of college. And I think you still can very easily do that. But you just, it's all about being aware of your surroundings, knowing where the resources are in advance before you need them, and also following your instincts, trusting your instincts, and listening to your intuition. And, you know, I've done it before myself, and, you know, maybe I'm leaving work when my work wasn't my den or an airplane, and, you know, I'm leaving the office at 8 o'clock at night, and I kind of feel awkward about walking out, but I feel like it would be silly to call someone and have them check on me or, you know, something like that. Don't be afraid, because, you know, if you follow your intuition and trust your instincts, then if you are safe, great. But if you're not, at least you're prepared. So I think just really not being afraid to talk about that and to create your own solutions in the workplace as well and with your new friends that you'll make in the corporate world and things like that, that just because you're, you know, 25 or however old you are now doesn't mean that you're an adult and the same things aren't going to happen. You have to create a safe environment no matter if you're on vacation, if you're a student, or if you're in your office. It's, you know, it's really simple if you think about that, and just to kind of you know, promote our website and encourage people to be safe. Unite for Change, the website, has lots of different safety tips and different articles and stuff on there where people can kind of go and learn and see, find resources in their community. So I encourage people to go to that. And we always make the offer. And like Becca said, a lot of times when we meet with people, it's our first date. And, you know, if they want it to be a one-night stand, that's cool. But we'd like to continue the relationship. So if they see that there's something that's not on their website or they have questions about their specific community, then we have access to those. So we'll help do the homework and help them figure out how to be safe in their community and in their world.
Cool. So now they have more resources. I have two more questions, and they are related. We've got about 9 minutes. It just flipped for me. So I'm going to give you both questions. And for it's Kelly and Becca's program and mission sound amazing. I'm interested in starting a sexual empowerment program with my sorority. Do they have any suggestions to get started? And the second question is, do you have some key points to start with, and are you still available to speak at new schools in the fall?
Oh.
That's from the same person, so they go together.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, we are still available, and you can go to kellyabecca.com to find out how to book us to come to schools in the fall, and we would love to go. And also about the sorority, how to start a group there. It's really simple, and we would be more than happy to help someone get that started. And I think one of the first things to go to the Unite for Change website and see different events and things they can do on their campus specifically. And the great thing about Unite for Change and the work that we do, and I'm not sure what campus they're on, but because we are able to go to so many campuses, and, you know, we deal with small private schools where there's, you know, 1,500 students to Big Ten schools where there's more than 50,000 students, we get to see how different programs work on different campuses. So one of the favorite things about the work that we do is to be able to get people in touch with other campuses that are doing something really awesome, so that we believe in, you know, don't reinvent the wheel, just kind of, you know, sort of copy something and take bits and pieces from other campuses that already have amazing programs and make that work for you.
And I think also, first of all, thank you so much for your desire to do something with your sorority sisters
and
to contribute to your community. I mean, that's the hardest part. So really, there's nothing you can't accomplish at this point. So rock on for that. And, you know, please know, like Kelly and I said, this is for those of you who haven't had the pleasure of meeting before or who we're getting to know through this process, this is our first date with y'all, but we are as committed to you as we are in anyone else we cross. So please go to our website, give us an email. We will work you through the steps, and we'll learn more about what's going on your campus and what's going on in your chapter and your panel in a community, so we can help create for you something that's really going to not only, you know, just work, but it's going to thrive and really help the women and men on your campus and in your community and where they go after that. Just literally change the world. So we really look forward to hearing from you and helping you with that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another one of the first steps would be to see what exists on their campus already and to contact Student Activities Office, the Health Center, the Counseling Center, because there could be something that they could sort of marry into and help make that work better for their campus and enhance services that already exist, rather than starting something brand new and then realizing, you know, half a semester into it that somebody else is doing something similar and they have funding for it, you know. So just really kind of paying attention to what's happening in your community.
That sound like great ideas and great ways to get started. And the websites, again, for people to find you are?
kellyandbecca.com, and that's K-E-L-L-Y, spell out A-N-D, and then B-E-C-C-A. And then we have Unite for Change.
Like Barack Obama's campaign.
I know. We've had so many our web hits have gone up exponentially, so we'd like to give a shout-out to the people at that campaign for just giving us a little exposure. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Obama. We're waiting for that phone call where they're going to offer lots of money to purchase our domain, but that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, my. We've got about 5 minutes left, so if there's anyone who's been thinking of calling, you got a question you want to ask, that number is 347-215-8390, or you can continue to type in questions. But as we begin to wrap up, thanks to those of you who have shared your questions, and absolutely thank you, Kelly and Becca, for being here to share the powerful work that you do and the fact that you can find something that you love, that you're passionate about, and turn it into your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank you so much for having us. This is fun.
Yeah, it was definitely, it was great. And, you know, Kelly and I have talked a lot about what we do and what gets us up in the morning, gets us jacked up, and why, even though our to-do list, each time we take one thing off, two more things go on it. I think what keeps us focused is, and I had this conversation with my godson staying with us right now for the week, and, you know, we talk a lot about different, you know, things that he wants to do, and he always wants to know how much money does each job come with. And I said, listen, I said, if you don't love what you do, it'll never be enough. But if you do, you'll always be full. And it's true. Kelly and I, you know, Kelly and I have always been successful in the fact that we've always been instigating and being a part of making a change. But by the standard definitions of success, by financial and security and things like that, that has not always been the case. But there's been such a sense of satisfaction that you learn to make do when you're truly fulfilled. And I think that's really important about the work that you do, and that what ties us all together is you have to nourish your soul. And if you're not fully nourished as a person, then nothing else is ever going to be truly satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get some praise up in here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's such wise advice to hear for your godson about, you know, the money will never be enough if you don't really love what it is that you do, and that you aren't fueled by being in service to others, whether it's your work or whether it's in your avocation, your hobbies. There are people who go to work every day, really don't like what they do, but boy, does it give them money to do what they love in their avocation. And so, yes, one of the things when I met Kelly and Beck was talking about, yeah, living your passion and doing what you love to do and how important that is. And so it's always exciting to talk with people who are living their passion as a way to tell people it is possible. We can do it. You can do it. I have one more question before you go. If you had one thing to share with the sorority sisters to encourage them to get involved and believe that sexual assault and sexual empowerment is important, what would you share?
One thing.
I think for me, I would just ask them, if you meet any resistance, what would you be willing to do for one of your sisters to prevent them from ever being sexually assaulted? Or what would you do to make sure your sisters always had the best sex they possibly could? Because playing on either one of those emotions would probably empower them to get on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for me, I think that's exactly right. But it's also, you know, being confident in your choices, and also leaving a legacy, you know, because they're experiencing things in college right now that are amazing and hard and, you know, all these things, but leaving your mark and making your campus or your sorority or your organization a better place than you found it. And I think that's something that people should do. I mean, I feel like that's something that we're trying to do for people that we work with. And that's, for me, is sort of what our work and life is all about. How can we leave this world a better place? How can we leave our mark? And as cliche as that sounds, I think that's really what it's about for me.
I hope that those words are helpful. And again, as you move forward with this, definitely contact Kelly and Becca, because they are awesome and will do whatever they can to help you, because it is so important. Because whether it's happened to you or whether it's happened to someone you care about, sexual assault touches our lives in a lot of different ways. So in our final minute and a half or so, to close, Kelly,
yeah.
Anything that you would like to say to listeners before they leave? What is it you would really like them to do, to take an action? I always challenge people to take an action.
I think that's important. I think taking action, and for me, I'll just talk from a survivor's perspective, is to that so many times the survivors that we work with, they feel alone and they feel like this is something that each day is going to be harder and harder and that it does get better. And, you know, I think it's so important that we find an outlet or a resource that helps us recover and helps us understand the way that we're feeling and acknowledge what we're feeling and find a way to take care of that, whether it's writing in a journal or speaking out or taking a kickboxing class or going to yoga or, you know, talking to a family member or a friend. Or it's okay to get mad, but learning to heal from the experience is so important. And the passion and the courage that I find in every single survivor that I work with just continues to amaze me. And I'm so proud to be able to work with them and to get to know them and for them to share intimate details. So I would just encourage people to not be afraid to listen and understand their feelings and to act on that, to personally evolve.
Well, and thank you. Our shows are archived, so we invite you to come back, to invite friends to listen to archives. And right now, we're still recording, but the show's not streaming live. So before we go, Becca, I want to give you the same opportunity. What action would you like to challenge folks to do based
The most important thing is we push down that voice, the voice that challenges us, the voice that says, you know, we can do this, and it allows us to doubt ourselves. And I say, turn up the volume on that and really allow yourself to thrive in whatever brings you joy and whatever you can do. And so I think the greatest thing is if you're inspired to make a change on your campus, if you're inspired to do something in your community, don't let the end of this conversation be the start and finish of that. Make it the first step. That would probably be my number one.
Well, thank you, ladies, both very much. I hope that we can do this again in the future as you have new projects and new initiatives, because it's a blast talking to you as always. Thanks for spending your time with us, with our listeners, so that people can find some new strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge, some sparks to create the life they desire. Thanks so much, Kelly and Becca.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And until next time, please stay safe, and may you continue to make a positive difference in the lives you touch.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.